All right. Regular meeting, February 4th, 2020, of the Finance Committee. Item one, call to order. Item two, comments from the public. Richard?
Nope.
No? Item three, 2020-21 budget schedule.
Okay, probably the highlight is to point out that mid to late February, we want to hold the board workshop. We did this last year, I believe we did it in early March. We'd like to get a little bit ahead of it this year. And we had originally proposed the 27th.
Yeah, we're hoping that February 27th at 3 p.m. will work for everybody. I have to send out an email when we get back and start with that. But it looks like it's free on Mark's calendar.
How does it work for you guys,
the 27th? I'm looking here. Hold on a second.
It's a Thursday.
Looks okay to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking probably Randy's the one that's going to have the most difficulty.
Right.
But he's pretty good about fitting it in if he can, or right, leaving his notes if he needs to.
John's okay.
And you want to start at 3?
Yes.
It's okay.
How long do you anticipate?
I would
4 hours.
Book it for a couple hours, maybe longer. John, 4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours.
Okay.
I'll send an email to everybody else when we get...
That would give us plenty of time to get the Prop 218 notices ready and give Cindy and I a chance to start really getting finite on the budget.
And so, we have a board meeting before then. Okay.
Yeah, we'll move that down on the list below February 21.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, it's just, we got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So at that meeting, what are we going to do?
That's when we're going to go through the items that we know about what is in the budget. We'll talk about what Jeff and Paul and Mark and I come up with, what we want to do as internal initiatives.
Okay.
Like, are we going to try to replace some systems? Are we going to buy a new car or whatever? So we'll bring our ask forward. We'll kind of explain there. We'll talk about the things we do know for sure. I mean, by then we might know what our liability insurance rate's going to be for next year. We might know what the CalPERS rates are going to be for next year. Then we'll talk about what we don't know.
And then a little early for them, but yeah.
Get a little bit of an idea of where we were at with rates. Kind of look at, you know, this kind of compares where we are year to date as well. So it just kind of gives the board an informed outlook about what we're talking about internally and what other outlying factors that we know about already and what that kind of looks like.
So based on the existing rate structure, could you guys just give us some kind of a ballpark estimate of what you anticipate revenue will be
at year end?
No, not so much on this year, but I'm looking forward to next year, the next budget cycle. You know, what based on current revenue, what you forecast, new development, new whatever.
Oh yeah, that'll be included.
An idea based on current rates.
Well, because we've added all the homes.
Right.
You know, by then, I think they told me that by mid next year they want to be done. They'll have all the homes sold. So that probably means the end of this calendar year that they'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, 80 times, 78 times all those fees, as well as the commercial fees.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might have some commercial hookups by then.
Which, you know, will really help when it comes to, like, how much it costs to run security and drainage, because until we have to start adding more staff, it might offset the fact that we can't keep up with it with the 2% increase.
Okay.
So, and we really are trying our darndest to get really finite on the reserve issue. So you can have the number you're looking for pushed out for 5 years or 20 years or whatever, you know, try to be able to answer those questions. We'll talk about the audit in a second, but we're focused on getting our audit completed right now. And then after that, Cindy and I will be able to spend a lot more time focusing on the budget itself.
Okay. We moving on, or is there more on that?
No, that's it.
Okay. Audit progress, item four.
So, to begin with, we tried to do our audit field work in January, and we discovered quickly that we weren't prepared. With all of the changes being recommended, all the journal entries being made to fix issues of the past, we just weren't prepared. So we postponed the field work. We continued it into March. And so right now, Cindy is working with the Poon Group in completing the request by Larry Bain, who we're going to use one last time until mm-hmm. we go out to bid for a new audit firm. We're trying to get his desires met with various documents, various copies of invoices and stuff like that. The biggest priority is to get the journal entries completed that relate to fixed asset and depreciation schedules, as well as just general distribution of funds and costs as they relate to each of the different departments and functions within the departments. And that's where we're struggling the most. So we wanted more time to prepare that for Larry than not, and so we postponed him to March. That puts us into an April or May status for being complete with the audit, and we have a statutory requirement to have it done by the end of the fiscal year, mm-hmm. which is June 30th.
Right.
None of us are happy that this delay has taken place, but we want to get it right, and then moving forward, we want to be able to have all this done by November, December timeframe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the goal that we're working on. And if you have any questions, the detailed questions, Cindy's here to be able to answer them, but I kind of think that kind of explains it to this point. If you have any questions, fire away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the utility, moving on to utility billing update then. So this, as you got your bills this month, if you received them in the mail, you received the new formatted statement.
Right.
If you received it via email, you received the old formatted
right.
statement.
That's what I got.
So these are just steps in the process. So the biggest step was to get the bulk of the new statements sent over to the printer, to the pre-sort shop, and have them mailed out. We found a couple things that I didn't catch in the development of the whole switchover, such as those who get EFT transactions done on the statements they've received in the mail. We forgot to put that little statement there. And then we also missed out on the add the to and the from date. So from December 26th to January 25th.
Nice.
A few customers called in on the to and from date. A lot called in that they didn't see that EFT will take place on this date. So those are fixed. And you know, it's just part of progressing to a new statement.
Good.
The previous statement's been in place for about 15 years. And I'm sure that as it was implemented, there were some steps along the way as it was perfected. The other thing we're working on is there are probably about 20 customers who receive anywhere from 3 to 20 statements each month. So we're working on consolidating those electronically, so when the pre-sort company prints their bills, they put them all in one envelope, which will make it easier for the customers to pay their bills, but also reduce some of our postage costs. So we're trying to make sure that we're as efficient as possible with mailing the bills out. And then we're converting, so the e-bill and the on-demand bills come out in the new format. And then we continue to try to figure out the best way to go from Paymentus credit card processing to a better solution that works in concert with the web page, where you can look and see your own usage and live billing issues and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So the web page is pretty much ready, but we have to figure out the best credit card processing to use. And right now we're focused on a couple other things, and that's kind of next in the hopper for utility billing. We're also working with Paul's staff to take advantage of automated reports that come out of the meter reads and try to get to the meter replacements, replacing the oldest meters or replacing the defective meters, or the ones that don't seem to be working properly, on a much more regular basis. So we've made a lot of improvements to how much time Paul's staff spend on the monthly read. An example is if a meter isn't picked up by the radio system when the truck drives around, Paul's staff have to go out and read the mm-hmm. meters manually. When we took over the utility billing in September, That list was about 160. Last month it was 14. So that's a whole lot of staff time that they don't have to spend running around every time we read the meters on, you know, at or around the 25th. So we're getting much better at that. We're finding defective meters a lot more quickly. And it's giving his staff, rather than reading meters, the chance to be replacing meters and doing more of what they should be doing. So that's kind of the utility billing update.
I have a question on the meters.
Okay.
Just to be clear, it's only malfunction is being read, not how it actually meters water.
It's both. So they can get read. Mm-hmm. So you have land, so you've probably been irrigating, and you have a house where you probably use enough water. So for every time a meter to click once, it has to go through 748 gallons of water. Is that correct?
Yes.
Or square feet?
No, gallons.
Gallons. And so that's one. And so, like some of the homes in the village, don't use very much water. So a month can go by where they don't click it once. But the larger homes should click it multiple times. Mm-hmm. So sometimes a meter doesn't get read because the unit on top, the radio system that says here's my reading when the car drives by, sometimes that malfunctions, and then sometimes the meters malfunction, you know, and some of the meters we have are 20 plus years old.
Well, I guess further to that point then, we haven't had complaints of all of a sudden we got a new meter and now usage is...
No, we do.
Now, is that because the meter that was replaced was misreading?
It could be a little bit of almost anything. It could be, so the old meters had a disc that would turn like that.
Right.
You know, that wears down over time, gets less efficient, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, it could be reading like 3 gallons for every 5 gallons. And then when you go and put in a iPro meter, which has no moving parts, it's got a mag meter type system, they're super efficient, and then all of a sudden they're like, I haven't changed my water habits, but I'm using way more water. It's like, oh yeah, you
did. So the good news is we're more efficient. Bad news is we're more efficient. Okay.
It's gotten, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've
seen... The moral of that is keep your old meter running at all costs.
And we do look at property size and say, oh, this zero reading on a property this big, and they're either not home or the meter's not working. Mm-hmm. So we give Paul's team a list, and we have a system that's called Census, and it's the meter reading program, and it kicks out a whole bunch of reports. And we're working with Paul and his staff to look at the various reports and see which ones are most efficient. We're able to note that a home's not occupied, and so they don't need to go read that meter. They at some point may recognize that it is occupied. So as we start seeing usage, we take it off not occupied and make it occupied, and then the billing goes as normal again.
Okay. So do you have any ability like to run some kind of an exception report that shows you this on age how old each meter is?
We can tell so that accounting system, one of the parts of it is they enter serial numbers of the devices that are in there. You can tell just by the serial number the age of the device.
Okay.
So that's one way of getting that information. And then we have, with my utility department this past year, we budgeted for and are kind of piecemealing as time permits, going through and replacing the older meters.
That was my next question, was, you know, is there a place where you guys say, you know, meter's 33 years old, maybe we ought to replace it.
We started in unit 1, 2, the village.
What do you think the percentage is that you've replaced the units that you want to replace?
That's a good question. I honestly couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Is there any analysis you've done or any feeling you have about how inaccurate an older meter would be versus your new mag meter that you installed?
It completely varies. So all meters come at 100% plus or minus a variance. Mm-hmm. And the new mag meters, they have basically no moving parts. So the thing that's really great about the new meters as well is they have a 10-year full prorated warranty. So within 10 years, there's any issues, you get a new one for free. Past that 10 years, up to 20 years, it's a prorated warranty. But those older meters, I mean, those parts just wear out. I mean, it can be anything from, you know, where it's supposed to be reading 5 gallons down, you know, and it's actually reading like 1.5, you know, or completely stops. And that's where one of the reports Tom's department spits out, it's called a zero report, and if it gets...
Yeah, you grab, you know, the outlier that... Yeah.
It's like, what? Why is this reading zero? Is there somebody not home? You know, what's going on here? Is the meter broken? And get the non-read exceptions.
And when you buy a new meter and install it, what does it cost us?
100, it depends on the size, but all new 1-inch meters are $195. And then the MXUs, I think, are $145. The MXU is the radio read device that comes on top.
Okay, so you got 300 and something in each installation. Do you have any experience factor on, does it traditionally yield higher usage with an installation? I mean, that, I can't get any more finite than that. In other words,
it's more accurate.
Is it your gut feel that yeah, it's reading higher arbitrarily because you've installed a more current meter?
I mean, it logically would.
Okay.
But
I'm just trying to.
We don't go back and look at all that stuff. We don't have the time to.
No, I understand. But if you've got 350 in a new meter, I mean, so logically, what would, you know, and we know it's going
to
read higher and you're going
to generate
more revenue.
Yeah, how long does it take to pay it off?
What's your payback on the meter?
Yeah. A long time.
As we know, because as we are looking at the water usage and for the rebate, when you look at what it costs for a cubic foot of water, which is 7.48 gallons, for just pennies.
Right. Okay.
$1.91
worth of...
Right.
For each 100 cubic... So 800 cubic feet is $1.91 per use.
Right.
So, but if a meter is broken or is performing very poorly, the payback is instant because when people are turning through...
Right, or commercial.
It's
makes
not
going to
be
simple.
As significant as you might think. Right.
I mean, if you got an estate lot, you could probably see some return on that.
Okay. Yeah, we're very aware those things are cash registers, basically, for the, for the department. So you want to make sure
the reason why the state went that way. I guess my question, if I can, a follow-up. I know I was looking for a percentage. Maybe somewhere in the goal process is we have a ballpark. And the only reason I say that, Paul, is then that's just another way we can educate the community on why we're doing what we're doing and trying to get to those efficiencies and economies of scale. So if it takes us, pick a number, 5 years to get to these meters, we now know we have a 5 years before we start the process all over again. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of that cyclical thing that we have going, because it is a huge item on your plate. Granted, it took the guys the other month maybe 10 minutes to swap it out, but again, we're talking thousands of meters. You know what I mean? So with that being said, I think it's, to me, and correct me, John, I think that would be something that we would let the board know, so we let the customers know what kind of the game plan is.
And we did do this back in like 2008, thereabouts.
I want to say that sounds familiar-ish.
It's just, got to update information. And that's the thing, we tried to calculate what's staffing time on things to go in and replace it. If everything's clean and nice, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But if you've got a manzanita bush planted over the top of it,
and then
transformer right next to it.
I've seen a few of those operations around my neighborhood where it's not just a 5-minute job to change it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured since they don't want me putting the river rock back on, I've gotten the hint.
We found smud power lines running under meter boxes.
Yeah.
Direct bury.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... You run into crazy stuff.
But I just think that's one of those ongoing things, and it's a labor-intensive, but it's what's needed.
Well, it's just data analytics. I mean, once we determine, once we find the resource, we could we could go in and pull up the meters that have been replaced, and we could track the usage pre and post meter replacement.
Right. I don't think that's rocket science.
It's just who has the time.
Right. And I don't think we need that. I just think if we're 5%, 10% into the community, and we know that it's going to take us another 3-year cycle, then that tells people what we're trying to accomplish in the process.
You could conceivably, and again, it's a matter of who has time to do this, you could take 5 meters in a parameter of 20 to 30 years, pull 5 meters randomly, and then measure and see what the revenue impact on that would be. Kind of, I don't know what a decent test would require, but if you ran 5 meters and you figured out your revenue went up 5%, I mean, then you're working with a number. You can project out, okay, based on the fact that if we change them all from 20 to 30 years, what's the revenue impact versus what it costs us to do it? You know, so, I mean, it's in there. It's who has time to do what.
But. Well, because I think anecdotally or intrinsically, we know there's efficiencies there, hence why we're doing it.
Yeah.
So, but what is that payback when we're talking pennies on the
right? On and I don't, you know, and again, like we don't know until we run a test. You don't know whether it's pennies.
Right.
You know, and you know, estate lots. You know,
some of them have $200-$300 water bills every month for usage.
Yeah, certainly in the summertime.
Yeah. So if we can pick off those, so we can do something. Alan's available. I'll have him do a 5 or 10 meter sample and see if we can fashion something. Because once you design the question, it's just a matter of downloading data,
the system,
and then
making
it track 1,000 meters instead of 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a ton of effort. I just think to give us an idea on, is it a 5-year, 7-year cycle until we get stuff caught up?
But what? So you're talking, I want to be clear about your question, because we have basically close to 3,000 meters,
mm-hmm.
and if they have an average of, 20-year lifespan, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
So what's that? Yep. Now I've messed up my head. So that's probably about, 300 meters, 150 meters a year that need to be replaced. And I think that's about how many we will have replaced this year. So the cycle is such that about every 20 years somebody would get a new meter. But, you know, they're no different than a water pump on a car.
Oh, yeah. No,
because
it makes all sense in our life.
They're 20-year-old cars with the original water pumps, and then 5-year-old cars who blow them for no reason. So I think we can take a look at the meters we're replacing, and we can also take a look at some of the lot sizes and see what kind of water uses they have.
Okay.
But we're just hitting our stride with utility billing. You know, replacing the former utility billing person was a pretty significant effort, and this is, I think, our 5th month since she retired. So, you know, we brought Alan in. We're doing a recruitment to fill the position permanently, and I think we've made real good strides. So I know we're catching up with how we communicate with Paul's staff. The business about rereading 12 water meters instead of 180 is a really big deal.
I mean,
that one person can go do that in an hour, when it used to be most of his staff would be having to spend a half a day doing that stuff.
Right.
So I think the efficiencies we're finding, and so this is a good question for us to spend time on.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do a few, and we'll report back.
So as we talk about looking at new systems that we want to implement, one of those is our utility billing,
mm-hmm.
to look at a more modernized system. Because the challenge that we have, we talk about data analytics, is that the current system is a black box.
Right.
We have to go to the vendor to generate useful reports
and
conduct what-if scenarios on the data. This should be very simple in most modern systems, and right now it's not. We have to actually ask for what-if scenarios to be generated every single time, a what-if. And we all know that when you do one what-if, it triggers a bunch of other what-ifs come to mind, and then you have to go back to them and have them program it and respond, and so it's very inefficient. So,
so
it's one of the benefits of an updated.
Yeah, if you look at a new analytic, a new system, is there any barrier between the existing meters and configuration of those meters that we use and an efficient system that you would create out of the black box or replacing the black box? Does that make sense?
I don't think so, John.
Okay. So in other words, the meters we have now would be compatible with what Mark's talking about.
Yeah, the meter reading system is entirely separate.
It's going to remain separate.
So we give it we send a spreadsheet to it. It gives us a spreadsheet back. We upload it into the system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any vendor that would come in would then set up all our accounts. They would extract all the information out of our accounts today, and our system basically was born as part of an Access database. The programmers were good at Access, so this is used by like 90 different agencies. It's called Ablesoft Platinum. So they have like 90 customers, anywhere from the islands in the South Sea to dozens of installations in the United States. Mm. And so it's just Access, and then they went to SQL as Access was phased out. So there are more modern databases out there, but when we go to transfer from one system to another, it's anybody who can run Access and has access to the back end is going to be able to export all the data. And then the census system is what goes out and reads it, and that's just a flat file spreadsheet that gets read every time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that it on utility billing?
That's all I have.
So the next item is the Cal Waste visit update. So I just got an email just a few minutes ago, actually, from Jack.
Okay.
So Cal Waste, after having communicated with them more than once, to see if there was some change in dates. And so he's provided, I have to sort through this because he's given me a whole host of dates that are not available. So
yeah, then just I would say email it out.
Let me come to some conclusion and then I'll communicate on that. He also communicated back on getting a recycling container for RMA. He says they can do that. And just pickup day would be the same, would be Friday, same as our pickup day here.
And that would be
our truck right there.
You mean at the RMA?
Cue the deer.
Corp yard? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
their main
courtyard would be.
Okay.
And then as far as receptacles for recycling throughout the community, there's still some follow-up questions.
Okay.
They've got some options available. He's perceiving that they would have to do the pickup of those specific receptacles, and that's not the case. And
yeah, that wasn't
discussed with
what I thought.
Is that,
right.
That maintenance staff
would
pick
do
up
that. Yeah.
And then transfer it to the dumpster, basically. So
I
think we can
well.
Resolve that and just see what options they have available to us. So looks like we've had a little bit of progress on that as of this morning.
Okay.
That's it.
Directors and staff comments?
I just have a couple. Payroll is running smooth with the employees since we did the switchover.
It's been a challenge, but so far we've hit the deadlines. We hit the W-2s. Mm-hmm. At 3 o'clock last Friday.
Right.
Staff is amazing. Paychecks is a little challenged to deal with us. The government, the scheduling, stuff like that, which surprised me.
Yeah.
But Tanya and Cindy are dedicating themselves to make sure we don't have any payroll glitches. So it's working out very well. But it's been a challenge. But it's okay. We're in the right track.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that would, and with that, I'm talking about time off, vacation time, all that is.
We're
getting to where we need to get. We're not having huge
Mm-mm.
glitches. Okay.
No, not at all.
Right now, that's being done. The time off stuff is being done manually still and added to the timesheets, but some of it is. There's just a few categories, or one category that like personal holidays or something like that that has to be. They have to do some back-end stuff that corresponds to how we track things.
Right.
But largely, that's already done. I mean, it still is. It's really nice to have it online. And
Oh, yeah.
You see your pay stubs online.
Oh, no, so I get all that.
Got it on my cell phone.
And when you see the MOUs we have, and
every organization
we have,
right.
You know, it's about half as complex as a fire department's payroll.
Right.
But, and I mean that, because
I
know what fire department payrolls look like.
Oh, I get that.
So, and being a special district,
Right.
Their resources are okay. I wish they were better, but I understand they're a huge company.
Right.
And so once we get it dialed in, it'll just happen from
Perfect.
Here on out.
Okay. And then the other is, I think you said it best, Tom, we just continue to update the customers, whether it's the pipeline or however, on just as we're going through stuff, and, whether it's going to the e-billing system, the new format, just folks, it's change for efficiency's sake, and we're going to make a couple of stumbles, but at the end of the day, we're pretty accurate. Because I think those that feel that, and Paul said it best, those that feel that there's a skew, they don't have a problem calling. Which is fine.
No, I think we handle a lot of customer calls all the time, and I think we're addressing them. Some of them require, as Paul and Jeff will attest, you know, a lot of hand-holding.
Right.
But in general, I think the customers go away, feel like they have their questions answered and their needs met. They might not always be happy.
Right.
But, I think we're doing good.
Thank you. That's all I got.
I'm fine. That's it?
That's it.
Meeting is adjourned. That was 30 minutes and 29 seconds.